Blog Talk Radio.
WPR Rebuttal is on the air. Welcome to WPR Rebuttal, covering the sides of the story missed by Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio narratives the UW System Board of Regents won't allow. And shedding light on perspectives the owners of WPR don't want you to hear. I'm your host, Senator JPO, and today we're going to focus on Photoshop misadventures. Yes, by the end of today's episode, you can honestly tell people that you've gone Photoshopping, because this is a showcase of various things that I've done in Photoshop and resulting internet memes, which, by the way, if you see the word meme, it is spelled M-E-M-E. And I remember when I first saw that word about 5 years ago, I thought, oh, it's pronounced meme. But actually, it's pronounced meme. And I found out the proper pronunciation when I was talking to my coworkers. And it was funny because we were comparing different meme generators, and I told them, well, hey, I actually make my own memes in Photoshop. I don't use a meme generator, is what I told them. But there's a typo in the title. I have to fix that. It says Photoshop Miss Day Ventures when it should be Miss Adventures. So what I have to do is just transpose that D. It's not a big deal. You can always do that after a show. But I can't edit anything during a show, so if you're surfing in on your tablet, your smartphone, and you see, oh, Miss Day Ventures, yeah, I'm going to fix that. It's going to say Miss Adventures once I end the show, and I can edit it. The dashboard only lets you do one thing at a time. So if I were to try to go back and edit it right now, it would unfortunately end the show. But speaking of which, if you want to call in and share how you have utilized Photoshop and direct us to some of your handiwork, then you can call in at 929-477-3965. Again, I'm going to go over some of my own work, but if you want to go and name drop a few works of art that you've put together, and any tips and tricks and obscure strategies for getting the most out of Photoshop, you can dial our conference line at 929-477-3965. All right, so I guess just a little background. How did I get into Photoshop? Well, admittedly, I use a very old edition that's 5.5 before any of these Creative Suite editions of Photoshop came around. Edition 5.5 is from 1999. So because it was on my parents' computer at the time, I actually did not touch Photoshop until it must have been around 2002, 2003, and all I did was I tried pasting together like an album cover, because I did an album full of Christmas song covers. It was all religious Christmas songs, but I was trying to put together a photo album cover, and I'm like, darn it. At the time, I didn't understand the concept of layers, so when I pasted something into a new layer, I'm like, oh crap, it overwrites the outer layer that I had. And then later on I realized, oh no, it does not overwrite, but you have to click the icon to hide a layer. And then you can, but it's not enough to just hide or show. You actually have to click on the layer that's next to the icon so that the focus is on the layer, and then you can try different tools to manipulate it. And what I was teaching myself the tools in Photoshop, that was a real nightmare. I tell you, I actually left Photoshop for a few years because I'm like, well, I'm not majoring in graphic design, and I'm not going to try to make a living off graphic design, so why should I bother with this? I didn't want to do Photoshop for a long time. So then, finally, more out of boredom than anything, in 2006, I came back. I think it was more like 2007, but I was farting around trying to change, like, the... I was trying to do color correction. I was trying to correct the contrast and the hues of photos within Photoshop. And that's where I got back into it. And then I was trying to put word bubbles, and I'm like, well, I can type text that just kind of floats out front in the picture, but how do I do a word bubble? So then even later, it was like around 2010, then I got into the whole notion of drawing superimposed illustrations over the photos, and then I was really able to take off, and then I developed from there. I got into animated GIFs, where really you just make a whole bunch of different layers, and then at the time I used ImageReady. That was a separate utility than Photoshop. But yeah, I really prefer to use ImageReady, but unfortunately when I had a forced migration from Windows XP to Windows 10. And when Windows XP crashed for good on my compact PC, this is in 2014, early on 2014, compact Rosario finally died. And I reinstalled. Okay, so I reinstalled and I was able to get another 2 years out of my compact PC. Spelled COPAQ, it's a brand name. But in autumn of 2016, this is like November, late October, early November, but darn it all, the thing died for good. It wouldn't power on or anything. Now it's the end of my Windows XP. Because when I was trying to install my new computer, it wouldn't allow XP. It only accepted Windows 10. Like, okay, that's the end of the line. All the old software worked on Windows XP. Might or might not work on Windows 10. Unfortunately, ImageReady did not work. It did not port onto Windows 10. So I was no longer able to do my animated GIFs the normal way. And what I did instead is I purchased for a very reasonable price of $30. But I got a lifetime license for this other animated GIF program. Eximian, this, what a mouthful of a brand name, but it's like Eximonious. Eximonious is the name of the company, but the actual app name is GIF Creator, GIF space Creator. And that is okay. It's no ImageReady, but I guess in a certain way it's better than ImageReady, but it just... It took me a little bit to get used to the GUI, to the graphical user interface. I mean, ImageReady had a really big intuitive interface, and for copyright reasons, GIF Creator team could not use the same layout. But the functionality is all there, and it's for a very reasonable price. So that's all you have to do is just Google GIF Creator, and you'll probably be taken to the site for the Eximonia software development team, and there you can buy it. $30 to get a lifetime license. It's just like ImageReady, but a few extras. Okay, what's an extra I can make? Well, for one, you can adjust the time of all the frames with one command. That's very useful. So you can have like 30 or more frames, and instead of clicking on each one and changing it, you can actually do a batch change for the time. Now, unfortunately, when I preview the GIF, the timing looks a bit off, but no software is perfect. And what I can say for GIF Creator is it doesn't crash. Unlike Photoshop, I gotta say, on Windows 10, Photoshop tends to crash more often. I mean, it works, but here's when it crashes for me, okay? You have a transparent part of the layer. Like, let's say you cut a part of a layer, or you don't cut anything, so nothing is transparent, but you want to do a fill into a part of the layer, so you select a rectangle, right? But when you do a rectangular selection, you better not try to fill it with the paint tool, because at least when I do it, Photoshop crashes, and that's unacceptable. I mean, it's Windows 10, stuff is supposed to be working better, not worse, but, and Firefox crashes a lot too in Windows 10. No lag, and it's just awful. Chrome, I can't get Chrome to work in Windows 10 because it lags, and I want to process kill it because it lags worse than Firefox. And Microsoft Edge, that damn thing will go and make your monitor glitch out. Yeah, Microsoft Edge web browser can kill your monitor. And then you have to reboot the computer to get your driver back. Horrible. Never use a Microsoft web browser. I can tell you that. Okay, so back to the Photoshop. Why do I call this episode Gone Photoshopping? Senator JPO's Photoshop Misadventures. Well, that's because it's really challenging and definitely tedious, but challenging to go and do everything that you want to do in Photoshop without it crashing. It's just like a matter of time before it crashes. So obviously save early and save often, but it's always a pain in the neck because sometimes, I mean, you can't get your history of action. So if you want to undo something, then too bad. You just have to save a different rendition of the image every time that you want to change something, like a color filter, let's say, right? And if you want to change it back and Photoshop crashes while you're changing it back, well, then tough luck. The dump file, and I've made dump files that are over a gigabyte, okay, when Photoshop is thrashing, sometimes you can go to Task Manager and right-click it, and instead of process killing it right away, you can make a dump file. Well, that's kind of useless, and it'll hog up a lot of your disk space, because I was trying to retrieve graphical information, image data, from the dump file, but no, you need a special tool to even make it human readable. Try opening a Notepad. A gigabyte is too large for Notepad. So, yeah, Photoshop just really has a bad time with crashes. And the dump file doesn't do anything but waste space. I mean, I know what tends to crash Photoshop, and that's anytime you try to manipulate a selection or an image path, that is when Photoshop is most likely to come crashing down, and you'll lose everything that's on screen. Not a damn thing you can do about it, except for save early, save often, and when you want to try working with an image path, just save everything, close it out, and open it up all fresh to minimize how much of a memory stack you have. Okay, so what are some results of using Photoshop? I mean, is there any use to it, or is it just a waste of time, or what? Well, I've been assembling a gallery of my handiwork, and I put it on Imgur, imgur.com. And if anyone else listening has experience with this and they want to share, they may call 929-477-3965. All right, so first work of art is the animated square advertisement for a no future cohort of college graduates. And it says, if you're highly educated but have no future, then this is the definitive meme. And I have a link in the episode description right here. And yes, an animated GIF. It expands and contracts the letters of the message. And the central image is actually static. It has a graduation cap. I believe they call it a mortarboard, but on top is painted the message, "No future." Now, some people might ask, why would anyone put that on a college graduation cap? Isn't that contradictory? Well, it is counterintuitive, and some might call it oxymoronic, but rationale is that college is a school where it's scams. So you have a lot of people paying for the privilege of earning a degree when really that so-called degree is a voided ticket to the future. You're not going to get any type of upward social economic mobility from that college degree when the whole labor market is rigged against you. It's true. You would have to have some very powerful, influential friends, and without those, in your college degree means jack squid. I'm not going to get the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, after me for on-air vulgarity, so I said jack squid, but you know what I mean, and that's why I painted no future on that college graduation cap, because something needs to be said about the schoolwork scam. And I remember a few weeks back, this Quora question about useless college degrees. Well, this answer saying all the letters and science degrees are pretty much worthless, that answer got over 70 upvotes within a matter of a few days. So that was pretty cool to see how the public is just not only aware, but acknowledging it, acknowledging that, yeah, the state universities and these accredited schools can be equally exploitative, just like these private, non-accredited schools. Okay, so what's the next work of art that we have? Oh, this is a rather jovial one, but photoshopping words into the mouth of an elected representative. Okay, so there's this woman named Katrina Shanklin, and she is a representative for the state of Wisconsin. And she's a Democrat, too, so essentially she does a lot of lip service to the idea of social justice, but when it comes to stuff like higher education reform, that ain't her cup of tea. So I put Tempest in a teapot by showing that higher education huckster that you can't just go around saying that you're a social justice advocate when you don't go to the bleeding edge or to the perimeter of the social justice movement. I mean, she's just a bandwagon person. She ain't an innovator by any means. And so according to WPR, and I'm WPR rebuttal, taking them to task, but there is this so-called Reclaim the UW System demonstration on some of the campuses. And this representative, Katrina Shanklin, went to one of them. And WPR photographer caught her on camera from a very unflattering angle. And I did a screen grab of that unflattering angle of Representative Shanklin, and I photoshopped these words around her. It said, "If Joe Oler can't get a job offer with his college degree, then what makes you think you will?" Now, how was I inspired to do that? Well, that's because essentially when I first began talking about the schoolwork scam, a few years after I had been silent about it, I'm like, you know, enough is enough. It's time to speak out and to make a strong difference here, to get some reform going. And I've been successful in that. But at first, I received a lot of blowback, especially from people on the internet, like on LinkedIn forums, and not so much on Quora, because that's where I'm getting a groundswell of support now. But yeah, pretty much on LinkedIn. And people would comment my articles and they'd say, "Well, aren't you entitled?" And stuff like that. And I would say, no. The only thing that I'm entitled to is just a truthful representation before I plunk down all this time and money for my degree, that no, you're probably not going to be able to get any decent job offers or professional work or any internships or the ability to monetize your degree. Okay, that's all I'm asking. But they misrepresented, and there have been other private universities that have been closed down for the same type of misrepresentation. That's my point. It's just that these other critics had their blinders on because they cannot fathom that a state school has the capacity to misrepresent. You know, as far as they're concerned, like the professors are little gods with a small g, and the administrators can do no wrong. So the state schools, just by their position ex cathedra, by their authority as being state-sponsored universities, they allegedly can never misrepresent or never mislead, never exploit, never abuse anyone. But I've shown that's patently false, and now I've gotten a lot of acolytes and accolades, acolytes being the followers and accolades being the praise for doing this outreach and public education as to how truly exploitative the state universities are when it comes to perpetuating the school-to-work scam. Okay, so my next meme is an infographic comparing the bathing frequency and the influenza incidence between the United States and France. Okay, so there are four pieces of data. Okay, and that's the United States bathing frequency, and that was determined through market research. So, like, all these polling companies like Ipsos or the Harris Poll or the Gallup Poll, all those, on occasion they'll go and ask respondent about how often he or she takes a bath or showers or whatnot, all the guy's personal hygiene, and they do it a few times a day, just once a day or once every so often. And a similar study has been done in France, and to get the influenza incidence, which is a frequency, but in medical terminology and epidemiology, incidence is the frequency. They're one and the same. Okay, so in the United States, we have the Centers for Disease Control. In France, they have an equivalent in a French name, which I won't bother to repeat here because it won't sound French. I speak American English. American English. Okay, so what do they find? Counterintuitively, bathing less often is correlated with fewer flu outbreaks. Or one for French, because they're the ones who bathe less frequently and they have fewer people getting the flu. Not just an absolute number, but relative numbers. The flu outbreak in France per capita is only about 5%. Yeah, I mean, according to this infographic that I put together, that the French have 1/20th of the flu outbreak numbers that we have here in the United States. And the sacrifice to your hygiene is actually pretty minimal because the French report only 20% of their population bathe daily, whereas in the United States, about a third of Americans bathe daily. Or actually, sorry, I have to restate that. I am reading my own infographic, but it's so many words here. I'll probably find a way to redesign this infographic, but for now, I have to read what I did from a while back. And from a while back, I say at least 20% of French do not bathe daily. Okay. Okay. Well, this is pretty funny. This is actually funny because it could be argued that there is an inverse relationship, okay? So we have a solid fifth of the French population is not bathing daily, and Americans actually are catching up because we have a third who reports bathing less than daily. So in other words, the Americans are catching up to their French. It's just that the Americans actually bathe about about 220% more frequently
On average.
obviously an individual is not going to necessarily bathe 220% more frequently, but when you add up the time series data, I mean that's true over time.
Okay.
So that was that's data from Brulé, Vallée and Associates. That's a French polling firm. I got the name. It's from the CentaWeb. It's like an American polling firm. And from the Centers for Disease Control and YouGov. Okay. Now, on to the rest of the gallery. If you want to go and look at the rest of my works of art that I put together in Photoshop, you can go to centertourjpo.imgur.com/ALL/, and that will take you to a master gallery. And yeah, there's a few other gems here, which I did not put in the description of this podcast because there's not enough room. Blog Talk Radio is not giving enough room to put all the information here. So if you want even more photoplastic manipulation, all you have to do is just click on the link that I have at centerjpo.imgur.com/all. And you can see a pasted-together parodies and the internet memes. All the photoplastic handiwork that you can shake your tablet at. And there it is. So Blog Talk Radio is claiming that I only have under a minute, but my dashboard says I have more than 5 minutes. So we'll see what happens. If this episode cuts out, then the audible warning on the conference line is right. But I think the conference line warning is wrong. From prior experience, I believe the dashboard time is correct. I actually have 5 minutes remaining, not 5 seconds. All right. Well, if anyone wants to call in, we can have an open comment section. Yeah, open air right now, 929-477-3965. WPR rebuttal. Otherwise, catch us next Thursday at 12:30 Central Time in the afternoon. Okay, here we are. And we're ending the episode because the dashboard says that we have 4.5 minutes left, but the time went dark. So it's counting down, but it's gone dim. So there is a disjunction between the conference line timing and the dashboard timing. So I'm just going on for this extra little bit here to calibrate and see by how much dashboard overstates the time, which might actually be accurate, and it might actually be the conference line is understating the time that we have left in our show. Well, whatever the case, I don't see any more callers, so I'm going to end this early. I'm going to fix a few things in the description, and we can all enjoy that. Click through these links here to the imagery photo galleries here, photoplastic handiwork, and I'll catch you next Thursday at 12:30 in the afternoon Central Time. Senator JPO signing off.